rolling together in case you didn't get to hear the first part of the chapter. Paul talks about the mystery of their calling, but he says it's been revealed. The mystery of their calling has been revealed. And what was the mystery that God didn't reveal to the Old Testament saints? Although they knew that the Messiah would be a blessing to the whole world, they couldn't quite understand how could that be. And then Jesus came, suffered, died on the cross, laid in a tomb. He rose again on the third day, physically rose, not spiritually, physically rose. It was the same body because he had to prove it to us because we wouldn't have believed it. And he said, "It's me. Here are the nail prints. Here, put your hand in my side. It's me. Have you got any food here?" They said, "We have some fish." "Well, then give it to me. I'll eat it. Spirits don't eat. It's really me. I'm risen from the dead. Now go and tell the whole world the good news. You come to me, every one of you," Jesus says, "who labors and is heavy laden. You come. Doesn't matter how heavy, how much you're laboring. It doesn't matter how big it is, you come. Leave it with me. You come." And then once we come to Jesus, he trains us up and says, "Now go. Go to the whole world." But you see, the mystery was this, that the Gentiles and the Jews would come together, would be part of the same family, part of the bride, part of the church, a special group. We talked about that the last time we got together. And he also says, excuse me, he didn't say that, I did. He also says, to the intent, verse 10, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Angels, created beings, the ones in heaven and the ones that have fallen, they did not know. And he says, to the intent that the church is going to teach them the manifold wisdom of God. The angels didn't know it. Satan and his minions did not know. God had it in his heart the whole time. And when Satan and his troops put Jesus to death, they thought, see? But then Jesus rose. And something even worse took place as far as Satan is concerned. Now the wall has been broken down. Anyone can be a part of the church, a part of the bride. Anyone. The angels, the fallen angels, did not count on that. It opened a whole new can of worms. Is that a cliche? Should I? I hate cliches. They're a dime a dozen. Wouldn't be caught dead using one. I haven't said that in quite a while. Kristen lets me know when it's time to get it on tape. Gosh, the angels. According to the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the way it was. That's why. Now the walls have been torn down. And so we'll move on. Modifying Jesus Christ our Lord, verse 12 says, in whom, speaking of Jesus, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Are you a Christian? Have you asked Jesus Christ into your life sincerely? Then you have access to God. Now that means, of course, I'm going to tell you the opposite, but Scripture all the way through points to this and says it. God hears the cry of the righteous. I won't quote too many verses. You can do that. You can go find them. But the point is this. God does not hear the prayer of the unrighteous. People don't like that. Now, I grew up a whole different way than Christianity. Not really, but really. And I never knew you could be born again. And there were times when I was having trouble and I would pray. Oh, God, you get me out of this one? I'll give you a buck. Or if you could help me through this, I'll and usually I got out and I'd say, whoa, God answered my prayer. Nope. God hears the cry of the righteous. I did not have access to the Father, but I didn't know it. Nobody told me that. And I see people today. And they're in there and they're chanting and they're in touch with their ascended masters and they're the 66 masters, the masters of the universe, you know, the forces of Shambhala who have risen, Jesus supposedly being one of them. And they, you cry out to the masters and this happens and that happens and you visualize it and you create your own reality. And they say, see, God, whoever you perceive him to be, he has answered, no. God hears the cry of the righteous. We don't like that. Why don't we? I don't know. Just bothers us. It lets me know how lost I was, how bad things were. I don't want to talk about it. What do you mean he didn't hear my prayer when I was 13, 14? What do you mean? Because I didn't know him. I didn't have access to him. But you talk to people who walk with the devil, and they don't know they do. And they'll tell you, oh yeah, I pray. Who do you pray to? God. God who? Who is he? Tell me who he is. Describe him to me. Tell me what he means to you. Tell me who he is. Well, he is the oversoul. You know, he's just nothing. He's up there and he's the oversoul. Hindus. That's Benny Hinn's haircut, isn't it? A Hindu? I'm sorry, I'm just checking to see if you're paying attention. Hindus. Not Benny. You know that they are working their way toward perfect nothingness. They're going to be reincarnated and come back and come back until finally they are so good they become part of nothing. There's a goal. Part of the oversoul. Nothing. It's called, in the Hindu term, nirvana. Perfect nothingness. We'll all reach it, they say, someday. We'll be perfectly nothing. I know many men on drugs who work toward that. And women and children. Perfect nothing. That's where they're headed, they think. But we know better. You see, we know that there is suffering and it's eternal for anyone who rejects Jesus Christ. We know that's true. We learn, you know, Jesus talks more about hell than he does about heaven. That's something. Jesus believes in a literal burning hell. Oh, and how many churches today teach there's no such thing? Hey, God ought to know. I would stick with God way before I would stick with some other strange doctrine. But look at this. The reason I'm telling you all this is this. If you have Jesus Christ, you have access with confidence, boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Jesus paid the price and has ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father. Makes intercession for us daily. And you have boldness if you're born again. Listen, Jesus in John 14:6 said unto his disciple Philip there, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you think, and rightly so, you think, well, that means I can't go to heaven without him. True. But don't stop there. The sentence is complete. You can't come to the Father, even here in his presence. You can't come to the Father except by Jesus. You must be born again to come into and speak to the Father. That's what he's saying. And we always stop at just can't go to heaven. Well, of course you can't. You must be born again. But you also must be born again to have access into the presence of God while you're here on the earth to cry out to him for mercy, for direction, for wisdom, for money, for whatever you need at the time. And that's what Jesus says. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Romans 5:1-2. You can write these down if I'm going too quickly. I usually do, but therefore, being justified by faith, this is Romans 5:1-2, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, modifying Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's how we get there. our faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we have the access. Ephesians 2:18, I'm sure you remember that. For through Him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, both Jew and Greek, or Gentile. All of us now have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the Father. Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, referring back to Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us, hold fast our profession. Hang on. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to be human. But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who? Come boldly. Let us. Who's us? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We've come to Jesus. Now, because of Jesus, I can come boldly into the throne room of grace. Now, when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, I couldn't do that. But I didn't know it. I didn't have access to the Father. No one explained that to me, so I just would pray when, you know, you get in trouble. You pray. If it works out okay, well, God heard my prayer. No, you know, God hears the cry of the righteous. Now, people, you tell people that, they're going to say, uh-oh. See, I prayed and it happened. Well, Scripture specifically says the only way to gain access to the Father is through the Son. Now, you don't come to the Father in the Son's name if you don't belong to the Son. Knock on the door. Open the door. There's a 9-year-old kid. What's up, dude? My birthday is tomorrow. Huh. And I would like a bicycle. Just wanted you to know. I live three doors down. Cool. Sounds odd, doesn't it? I don't even know your name. You want a bicycle for me? It's your birthday? That's weird. Don't hold your breath. Now, you wouldn't be that rude to a child, but wouldn't it be odd for a kid that doesn't even live in your neighborhood to come knocking on the door going, hello? Yeah. Well, Christmas is coming soon. The goose is getting fat. And I want a motorcycle. And my dad can't afford it, so I'm letting you know. That is so odd. I don't know where you live. I don't know your parents. I don't know. You don't know how to ride a boat. What? Who is this kid? Somebody know who this kid is? No, I've never seen him. Isn't that odd? Has it ever happened to you? Probably not. And it doesn't happen to God either. He doesn't hear. I need to belong to Jesus. That's the access. And then, you come to Jesus, which is free. You have access all the time. Not when you're feeling spiritually okay. Not when things are going, well, boy, it's strong and right on. No, all the time you have access to the Father. Even when you're not sure He's speaking to you. You have been a louse and a weasel for a whole week. And you think, oh man, I call myself a Christian and look at this last week. Oh my gosh. Is it possible I could cry out to God? Sure. Grace. Grace. You cry out to the Father. And that's what we're told. Look at Hebrews 10:19-22. Write this down. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You can come in because Jesus was torn, body broken for you. The veil was torn from top to bottom. You can now enter into His presence. You have access, but not just access. Make sure I read it to you right. Boldness and access with confidence. For the longest time in my life, Once I belonged to Jesus, I was a little nervous to come in the presence of God, come into the presence of God, because I knew what I was like. And I would say, oh my gosh, I can't go in there now and ask Him for help with rent. I mean, look how I've been the last 3 weeks. Now, rent is coming up, and I thought we were going to have it, and I don't have it. I'm kind of embarrassed to go before Him and ask. He's going to say, oh, yeah, well, look at your life. You're just rotten. Why should I? That's not God. I don't know where that picture came from in my life, but I had to get another picture. You know, the God that I serve, when my week hasn't been good at all, and I come to Him and say, oh, Lord, I need Your help. And He, you know what He says? I know. I've been waiting. I was waiting here. Gosh, I got a great idea, Bob. What? This is how I'm going to help. Oh, there's something I never thought of. When the prodigal son, who was just ready to eat with pigs, said, you know, in my father's house, even the slaves eat better than this. I want to go home and be a slave in my father's house. I'm not worthy to be called his son. I'll just be a slave. And his father saw him coming down the road, and he was dirty and had been on drugs and had been hanging around with prostitutes and thrown all his life away. And his father saw him coming and ran to meet him and hugged him. He wanted to tell his father, I don't smell very good. You don't want to get close. But his dad didn't wait. His dad just hugged him and said, my son was dead and now he's alive. He's back. Welcome home. Let's have a party. And when God has a party, they kill a fatted calf. With carrots. Of course. Wherefore, now that you know you've got the confidence, I desire that you don't faint at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. I'm in prison because I'm telling people every one of you belongs to God and has access to the Father. The Jews did not want to hear that. The Jews didn't want you and I to have access to the Father. They didn't want us. No, they're Gentiles. They can't come in. No, the wall's broken down. There is no Jew nor Greek in Jesus Christ. We're all part of His church now. We're born again. And they didn't like that, and so they arrested Paul. And they wouldn't let him out of prison for 2 years. They couldn't even come up with charges. He was in prison 2 years, and there were still no charges. When they send him to Rome, we're going to study the book of Acts after we get through with Ephesians. And when they send Paul to Rome, you're going to see that one of the governors looks at the other and says, we're going to send him to Rome, so that he can present his case before Caesar. Well, what's the problem? We don't have any charges. Why was he arrested? Well, the Jews got mad at him. What for? Oh, some religious thing. About this Jesus being born, risen from the dead, and now everyone can come and have eternal life. We don't have charges. Paul wasn't in prison because he was bad. Paul was in prison, he says, for you, which is your glory. For this cause now, because of this, I pray. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen closely, because I'm not here to insult. I really want you to get this. I need to get it. We all need to get it. I bow my knees. I pray. Do you have to get on your knees to be praying? No, there are many positions for prayer. You can be sitting in a nice, comfortable chair. You can be laying flat on your face, flat on your back. You can stand up. You can fight. You can do any position. No, I wasn't a cheerleader. It comes out that way. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus stood with his head raised and his eyes lifted to heaven. That's how he prayed. But there are times when it's heavy on your heart, and you'll catch yourself just getting down on your knees. Not all the time. Many times you just sit and you just pray, and you got your Bible in front of you, you got to speak, and you'll pray, and then you'll read something, and that's fine. But there are times when it is so heavy that you just get on your knees and say, God. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's not telling you have to be on your knees to pray, but he says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Bible underliner, underline Father. Who should you and I pray to? Seems to be some question in the church. Who should we pray to? Each time, each and every time, Jesus prayed, He prayed to His Father, God. Every time. He prayed to nobody else. Of course, Jude, Francis, and Bill, they hadn't gotten to heaven yet, obviously. And so some people use that as their reasoning. But every time Jesus prayed, He prayed to the Father. So His disciples, watching His prayer life, said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, says, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. When you pray along these lines. You don't have to quote these words exactly, but when you pray, Jesus shows who you're praying to. Our Father. That's who we pray to. Are you born again? Are you a Christian? Is your heart in the Lord? Is the Lord in your heart? Then you pray to the Father. Not to Mary. Not to anyone else. But to the Father. I think people have trouble with that. Is it scriptural? Jesus, you can write these verses down. Jesus says in John 15, 16, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, although He's speaking to His disciples, this is for all who will follow. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. John 16, 23, And in that day you shall ask me nothing. I'm going to go to my Father. When I've ascended, you will ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Now Jesus has, He showed me by example, here's who I'm praying to. And then when we said to Him, teach me to pray, He said, you pray, Our Father. You're praying to God. He prayed to God. He told me to pray to God. And then He said, ask the Father in my name. Now, let's see, does the church do that? In Acts chapter 4, verse 24, and when after the disciples were arrested and then let go, and they rebuked them, beat them, and said, don't preach Jesus Christ anymore, the disciples went back, told the rest of the group. The group prayed. When they heard that, they lifted up their voices, Acts 4, 24, to God with one voice or one accord. They said, Lord, Thou art God. Who are they praying to? God the Father. Which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who do you cry out to when you're in need? Who did we see already we have access to because of the Son? God. That's who we cry out to. Seems to be. And I'm taking time on this because seems to be confusion in the church. There is no other way to get access to the Almighty. No other way to get access except through His Son. Once I am in His Son, I cry out to the Father. Father God, my health isn't good. Father God, my friends are hurting. Father God, I am in trouble. And you pray and you cry out to the Father. And He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There are saints in heaven, saints on the earth. The whole family is named. It's God's family. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. God will grant to you according to the riches of His glory. I don't ask Him according to what the church can afford. That may worry you. Some, those of you who support this ministry, well, what do? I ask Him based on what He wants to do and what He can afford. And if it takes money, I figure if He wants it done, it's His money. He'll do it. Do you trust Him? See, He loves you so much. He's wanting to bless you. He wants to hold you up. He wants to protect you. He wants to be your Father. And He says, call me. God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. That's His phone number. Call unto me, He says, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, things that you didn't know before. Jeremiah 33:3. Bob, you call me, I'll answer, and I'll show you things, things that you know not. Lord, I don't know how to deal with this situation. And He says, well, you've called on the right guy. I know just how to handle it. Here's what I want you to do. We've been praying for a long time that we could go and have an outreach to the city somehow. And radio was one of the things that we'd prayed about. And God has laid it on some of your hearts. And so it has been a blessing, and it will be. It's going to be. And because He has spoken to you and to us, and as a family we move forward, we can afford to do it without hurting anyone. And it will take this, the Word of God, into people's cars and homes. Those who we could never tell, otherwise we may never see them. It's an answer to our prayer. Why? Because that's what God wanted to begin with. He wants to tell the world. Okay, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. See, Coeur d'Alene Post Falls, that's our Jerusalem. Our Judea, nothing personal, is Spokane. Wallace. Sandpoint. There's a Calvary there. They don't need us. But you see how it, Jerusalem, Judea, then our Samaria is like Wenatchee. Think about that. Lewiston. And then the uttermost parts of the earth are Oregon. Texas. And the entire United States of Maine. And we'll reach those. Some of you. I'm convinced of it. I have no doubt. And we will get no credit, and none of our names will ever go anywhere high. But each one of us will bring honor and glory to God. And who wants anything else? See, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. That He would grant you to be strengthened with power or might by His Spirit in the inner man. How many of you understand that? The inner man is not something that you can see. Now, my body gets tired, so does yours. If you work hard all week and you go long or whatever, your body gets tired. But your inner man is strengthened daily. Something there that's really you. That's strengthened by studying the Word, meditating on it, praying to God, listening to Him, walking with Him. You get a strength that just is unending. It doesn't end. Sometimes our inner man do take a beating. This week I was dealing with an issue in my own life and my inner man. Now, when I was young, I played sports. And those of you who did, men and women alike, you know what it's like to get the wind knocked out of you? There's nothing wrong with you. It's just that you really, for a little bit, you can't quite function. Have you had that happen to you? You're on the ball field playing football. You get a hit, and it just hits you just right, and you're down, and you get on your knees, or however you did it, and the referee would say, young man, are you okay? And you couldn't talk. Just signal. We all know I'm going to be up in a second. I got to find some wind somewhere. If it's out here, I'll get it. Air. Have you ever felt that way? And it doesn't last long. But this week, I was in my office and had some things go on, and I got off the phone, and physically I felt okay. But I just sat back and I just said to the Lord, I was all by myself, I said, I'm tired. I'm down. I can't get some air. But it didn't last but maybe 30, 45 seconds. And then I could breathe again. I thought, it's okay. It's cool. If God's in control, everything's perfect. There you go. I'm breathing again. All right, let's play. Did you ever get that way? Look, I know you do. We all do. We're human. We're people. We want everybody to do what God wants. We want everything to go God's way, and then we end up being a thorn in His flesh or in His side sometimes. It's us who cause trouble for God. And look at this, that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man. Out, mentally drained. You're still strengthened on the inside. You're still able to continue on. It doesn't get you. It doesn't take you down. It doesn't take you out. It doesn't take you away. It might knock the wind out of you spiritually, but that's not going to last very long. And you don't let it last long. You get up, you tell yourself a joke from 1962, and you go. That's why we laugh, some of you. Some of you need to. You're getting so serious that you forget that Christians can smile like once a week. We have a joke with Gary. Go ahead and smile right now. Get it over with for the week. What's that little girl say to her mother? Her mother's a Christian. She's in there making breakfast. The little girl gets up and goes, "Good morning, Mom." And her mom says, "Morning." And the little girl says, "Aren't you happy today?" And her mom looks at her and says, "Oh, I'm very happy." "Well, you haven't told your face yet." That's us, isn't it? Yeah. See, you are strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man. Listen to God and trust Him. That Christ, Messiah, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and the height. See, Christ may dwell in your hearts, our hearts, by faith. You won't feel it sometimes. And you say, "I don't feel." I have some friends who are really into experience. They have to have noises and lights and miracles and signs. They have to have that. And they look at me and they say, Your church is kind of quiet. You know, we like a place where they're hanging from the chandeliers. Now, see, these are friends of mine, so we can talk this way to one another. We love to slobber on the person in front of us. Go for it. Don't you ever miss the excitement. And I've had some of you ask me, excuse me, some of you have said, even this week, and you know, you say, "I don't feel God." And I had a friend ask me that. He said, "Boy, you guys are so subdued." And he says, "Man, don't you miss the thrill? How do you know? How do you know God loves you?" And I said, "That's easy." And I revert back, because I'm weird, to a song that I learned when I first got saved. And I tell it to them. "Jesus loves me, this I know." Why? "The Bible tells me so." Well, that's you're being childish. Little ones to Him belong. Oh, you're weak. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. He loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Why? How do I know? The Bible tells me so. When I feel it, when I don't. When I'm doing right, when I'm doing wrong. When I'm very intelligent, and when I'm usual. Jesus, that's not fine. Oh. Jesus loves me. Does He love you? Yes, He does. You know how I know He loves you? I don't even know you, some of you. I don't know how your week was. You might have robbed a bank. Don't do that. And don't use North Country bag for it. How do you know He loves you? How do you feel sometimes? Man, you feel worn out, drained. It's been a long day. I don't feel anything except I feel like I'm going to lay down. Does Jesus love me then? Yes. How do you know? Because God's Word says so. It's simple faith, and that's what Paul is telling us. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded. Rooted, a farming kind of term. You know, you plant a tree and it grows solid when the roots go down into the ground. Grounded is a building kind of term for construction, and you would build a solid foundation that building would be built on. You're rooted, there's your farmer term. You're grounded, there's your contractor term. Now we've covered everybody. You're rooted and grounded what? In what? In love, because God is love. Rooted and grounded in the Word of God, we're also told later on. So that you may be able to understand or get a grasp of with all the saints. What is that breadth and length and depth and height? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. How can you know something that passes knowledge? You think, what's the poor guy? He's confused. He's telling us we can know it, but we can't know it. The two words are different in the Greek. You can look those up. You have your own Strongs. You don't need me. I know that. So let me give you a little example that helps. You know, have you ever seen a little baby? Yes, you have. Do this. I'll do it. Wait, let's wait. Have you ever seen a little baby? Gosh, I wish I could get this on radio. And that baby is so happy because mom is there holding the baby and the baby's happy. What does that baby know? Not too much. The baby doesn't understand the love. It passes all understanding that mommy has for the baby. But the baby's comfortable there and semi-happy. There's one in the back there right now. Fine. Now you come along and go, oh, it's a baby. Let me hold him or him or her. And you start to take the baby, what does the baby do? It's Pastor Bob! Ah! Right? Why? Because the baby doesn't understand my love. The baby doesn't really understand mom's love, except the baby knows it's there. And the baby knows the love of his mother or her mother. But it doesn't know mine. I'm a stranger, maybe. You pick it up and it starts wailing and wailing, and nothing you do works. You put it back where it belongs and it stops. Because it knows the love. And that's you and I. We belong to God. So that we know the depth and the breadth, or the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. We can begin to grow and understand more and more about the love of God. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, by the way. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You cannot hold all that God is, but you can be filled full enough yourself. And that's what He's wanting us to do. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask, or above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's God's power, and look what He can do. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now that's the truth. He does above what I even can conceive. There were times in my life when I said, all I want to do is serve You. And I said out loud to God, I'll do anything for You, but I cannot teach. Because I don't understand Your Word. I'll never be able. So I'll play music for You. I'll clean the toilets. That's easy. I'll do this, I'll do that, but I won't teach because I don't have the ability. I cannot do it. And He did exceeding abundantly above all that I asked for, and I never thought it. Who'd have thunk it? I didn't think that. He does above even what I think. And so as I learn, I'm catching on to try, don't tell Him what to do. Lord, we would love to go on the radio to minister to others and to tell them about Jesus. And I didn't pick the time. I said, Lord, pick a good time. He picked the best time on the whole earth. Even you guys are up at 7. Even I'm up then. He picked the best time. If we'd have picked it ourselves, we would not have assumed to take that great of a position because we were just starting. We would have assumed to go on at midnight and work our way down. And God says, here, we'll put you right here above what you could ask or think. We ask Him, but I'm learning slowly. I'm so slow. Don't pin Him in. Lord, we need $100 for this. No, Lord, we need one of these, and so we ask You to provide. Whether it's the money or this thing or whatever it is. Lord, would You do that for us? And in return, we won't waste it. We will just use it for Your glory. You show us how to use it, where to use it, what to do with it when we've got it, and just let it be for You and let it bring people to Your kingdom, whatever it takes. And then God does it. People say, whoa, that North Country, that must be, look, you know, some of the people think you're holy. You didn't laugh at that. If I'd have said some of the people think I'm holy, you'd have been, ah-ha! No. They do. What's going on in North Country? Nothing. And you're here, you're witnesses. We simply just want to learn the Word of God. Trust Him and bless everyone out there and serve them, minister to them somehow that Jesus Christ would be seen. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages and and world without end. Amen. He says, amen, so let it be. Now we'll praise God just a bit before we close. And let me remind you about what we just heard. Listen to how He loves you. Number one, you, if you are in Jesus Christ, have access to the Father. Number two, He is looking forward to you talking to Him. Number three, He can do anything at all. Number four, He's waiting for you to ask. And when you do, He is able by His power, the power that works in you, to do above what you even dreamed. For His glory in your life. He will use you. He'll make you a pastor. He'll make you a teacher. He'll make you a missionary. He'll make you exactly as He's called you. And you would not have dreamed it. How many of us can honestly say, if you'd have told me 15 years ago I'd been doing this, I'd have laughed at you. 20 years ago. If you would have told me 2 years ago that I would have been in Idaho, I would have said, I don't think so. What would you do there? It snows. But here I am. I mean, look what God does. You want a freak? Somebody told me I was answered to their prayer. That's a big one, isn't it? Have you ever been told by someone? Do you know the feeling you get when someone says to you, you are an answer to my prayer? Boy, do you feel embarrassed. Me? What kind of prayers are you praying, man? What is that? But you are. You're an answer to someone else's prayer. You walk with Jesus. You serve. He loves you. I know some of you are in need. You cry out to God. Now, we have guys that come up here, and you can come up for prayer, of course. And that's a good thing to do. But understand that you can enter into the presence of God and cry out to God for your loved ones, for yourself, for the things that are going on around you, where you work, where you go to school, where you shop, where you visit, those things. God loves you. And He's saying, come, let me fill you so you can go and minister to the rest of the world. Let's bow our heads and pray.